my shoes. Hope the dog still feels in the morning.
It's time for Weekend Wrap-Up and Monday Night Madness on Beyond the Airwaves, The Infinity Project.
Good evening, everybody. It's Monday night. You know, that means it's time for another long week, as usual. And guess what? Saturday is leap day. Yep, February 29th.
That presents a problem with my payday. I don't know if I'm going to get paid Friday or Saturday.
Oh,
good
my.
Question. Excellent question. All right. Anyway, this is Beyond the Airwaves, The Infinity Project. And because it's Monday, that means it's Weekend Wrap-Up and Monday Night Madness. I'm your host for tonight. I am Oddball Stream. I'm currently joined in line by two of my crazy cohorts. First, we have Red Ranger Tim. Good evening to you, sir.
Good evening, Maria.
We also have our AZ Magician on the line. Good evening to you, Maria.
Hello, everybody. I hope everybody's having nice weather.
I wish I could say that, but I'm not. I'm having rain again.
You must have got my leftovers.
Yeah, we did. And unfortunately, Josh Johnson, our chief meteorologist at WSFA, he's had to go into the witness protection program as a result. Okay. The reason why he applied for it angered an entire state by mentioning more rain after February with 10 inches of rain already. His proposed alias is Rambo Swanson Jr. Of course, that's not going to really happen, but I'm telling you, I wish it would stop raining because it's driving me crazy. I think it's driving everybody in the state crazy.
Well, that's what you got coloring pages for.
Well, yeah, that, well, plenty of TV to binge watch. You know,
uh-huh. Oh, speaking of binge watching, there used mm-hmm. to be a show on Discovery Health
mm-hmm.
when it was around called Dr. G Medical Examiner. I found the first seven seasons. I found seven seasons of it on Netflix.
Nice.
So guess what? I'm going to be binge watching a little bit.
Yep. Dr.
G. I like that show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dr. G.
Dr. G, though, did get a little graphic.
Well, that's what you expect in a situation like that.
Like they showed her weighing a heart, a human heart, during an autopsy.
Yeah, well, speaking of autopsies and such, last night, HLN finally premiered Forensic Files 2.
Yeah, the narrator ain't so bad.
No, I mean, Peter Thomas, sadly, he passed away in 2016, so it's like, well, you couldn't get him. And Bill Camp, the actor who's doing the narrating, he really enjoyed doing it. He's a big fan of Forensic Files. In fact, there are surprising celebrities that are fans of Forensic Files. How about this? Singer Demi Lovato, she's a fan. Comedian Jane Cook, he said he'll even do the narration trying to be like Peter Thomas. But it's a situation like everybody has seen practically every single episode. It's like, finally. Because I remember, I think someone tweeted, at least I don't have to say, I've seen this one before.
Well, you want to know something? I still listen to it on Pluto TV when there's nothing else appealing to me.
Yeah.
I'll go straight to Forensic Files.
Yeah, there's a whole channel of Forensic Files.
24/7 and... So pretty soon, though, you get to where you've seen them all.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I've seen this. Yeah, I've seen this. Yeah, I remember that California Highway Patrol officer who did that. Yeah, uh-huh.
I remember Forensic Files did one of... He was a arson investigator, and he was setting mm-hmm. arson fires.
I believe it.
He was setting bloody arson fires.
Yep. But yeah, it's like HLN plays Forensic Files like starting like 5 o'clock in the evening and goes all the way to 5 a.m. next day.
So you get a full solid 12 hours of it.
Yep. Yeah, full solid 12 hours Monday through Friday, then like Saturday and Sunday, I think starting it's like 12 noon all the way to 5 a.m. No, I'm sorry, 12 noon to 6 a.m. the next day. That's a good 18 hours. Uh-oh. I'm about to sneeze. Hold on. I'm going to mute. There. Got it.
Thank you. We didn't even hear a thing, did we?
No, because I muted myself just in time.
Oh, my.
I know how to. I figured it out. If I was feeling I'm about to sneeze, mute. Because the last thing we do is blast everyone's ears with my sneezing. Because I'm warning you, my sneezes will get loud.
I got somebody who could top you, Shirley.
Well, let's see. Mom could top mine. My brother could top mine. I've always said this. If push ever came to shove, if all three of us were to sneeze at the same time, we could start an earthquake.
Well, get Jack Dempsey in the room with you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you know what we need to do? Box office time. The highs and the lows. Well, let's see. Sonic the Hedgehog is still at the top for the second week in a row with $26.2 million this weekend. Now, let's see. It's grossed $106 million. And what was the budget? $85 million. So it has completed. It has completed. It's enough. They can, if they want to do a sequel, they can. Of course, doing the animation may not be so simple because the studio that put Sonic together, the animated studio, has shut down. So that can make it a little more difficult.
Maybe they could find another animation studio to take its place, you think?
Yeah, maybe. All right, number two was the new movie, The Call of the Wild. That's the one with Harrison Ford. Made $24.8 million. Now, I was not aware of this. I checked the budget of this movie. I didn't think it was going to be so bad. The budget's $135 million.
Okay. That's
all right.
A little bit more than some of the other ones, huh?
Yeah. Number three is... I don't know why they haven't changed the title. It's supposed to be Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey. Only made $6.8 million. And the total it's made is $72.3 million. And I believe the budget was $84.5 million. So it actually needs to go a little bit more. And then finally, number five was Bad Boys for Life. It's still in there, hanging strong, $5.8 million.
Okay.
Yeah, would you believe True TV put out a movie?
Okay, which one was that?
Impractical Jokers, the movie.
Oh, God, I didn't like Impractical Jokers because none of them fucking jokes were ever funny to me.
All right. Well, anyway, now here's the fun part. Time for the bottom of the heap.
No!
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Really?
Yep. Let's get to the bottom of the heap. All right. We have a total of seven movies that made under $1,000. One movie made under $100.
Oh.
That one requires a triple foghorn.
Oh, just yeah. Saying. Probably the triple foghorn and the loser horn. All right. Well, anyway. All right. Like I said, there are only seven movies this week that made under $1,000, but one of those seven made under $100. So. Here we go. Number one is Edie with $600.
Okay.
Then we have The White Sheik with $437. Kind Hearts and Coronets, $205. Synonyms, $199. The Doors, Break On Through, A Celebration of Ray Manzarek, $153. Mr. Klein, $111. And now let's get to the moment we've all been waiting for. Drum roll, please. The winner, or should I say the loser, is Tremors. $56. That's it.
Shut up.
Yeah, that's it. $56.
Is that all?
Yep, that's it. My license plate costs more than that. By about $9. But yes, I have decided to give up my MJC4SFN license plate because I need to save some money. So I've gone to a standard license plate.
And that's okay. Excuse me, but honestly, $56 is like, what the hell? Yep. Okay, what? Weinstein got found guilty of sexual assault and got rushed to the hospital.
Gee, I wonder why. Like, gee, I wonder why.
To be honest now, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Ask me if this honey badger gives a shit.
Well, let's see. To be honest...
I'm sorry, sweetie. Honey badger doesn't give a shit.
I'm sorry, people. This honey badger doesn't care either. But,
mm-hmm.
by the same token, why did the women wait so long to make the allegations?
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing that rankles me a little.
Well... That's always been a question to me, too, because now, you guys know I don't like Roy Moore, but I will admit to this, the timing of the allegations against him got me wondering a little bit, because
right.
For me personally, those allegations were never a factor for me not wanting to vote for him. It was his record, okay?
Right.
The allegations were no factor for me at all. And, of course, he's trying to run for that senator spot again. I'll bet anything he does not get past the primary next Tuesday.
He needs to take a hint.
Mm-hmm. I will say this
like
right
Trump.
Now.
He's like Trump. He doesn't take a hint.
I will say this right now. Neither Roy Moore nor Jeff Sessions will get past the primary next Tuesday. Because people in this state, both Democrats and Republicans, have had enough, both of them.
I hope
you know what I mean?
For their benefit.
Yeah. Hey, I'm still voting for Doug Jones. I don't care. I may be a Republican, but I'm not stupid.
Proud of you.
Hey,
for doing
Shirley.
The right thing.
We may have been born at night, but it wasn't last night.
Got that right. Yeah, sorry, I wasn't born yesterday. I'm an open-minded Republican, okay? I will put country over party, thank you very much. Or, in this particular case, state over party.
Let's see. Oh, let's see if I can find that story. An
86-year-old woman at Ole Miss basketball. She had to punt a ball 94 feet across the court into a very small hole to win a 2020 Nissan Altima. She did it.
Yo, yeah.
She did it.
Good for her.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm going to put this in the I found a site. Now there was a tweet I posted it on my wall, and you get to see the actual video for pulling it off. And it's like 86 years old. It goes to prove age ain't no number.
Oh, you know what you're talking.
All right. Well, anyway, I love this one. Lord, it's up to you. 86-year-old grandmother hits epic putt during Bama Ole Miss basketball game. Let's see. You'll probably have to watch it twice to believe what happened Saturday night during a promotional win-a-card putting challenge at the Ole Miss-Alabama basketball game in Oxford, Mississippi. Marianne Wakefield had to. I woke up this morning and had to watch it again to see if it was real, she says. Her rebels may have lost, but the 86-year-old Oxford grandmother, who rarely even wins at bingo, won a brand-new Nissan Altima after burying a jaw-dropping 94-foot putt on the hardwood that sent the pavilion into hysterics and still has Marianne, please just call me Marianne, pinching herself. I mean, I was the only person who signed up, she says. The miracle happened during the first time out after halftime. I asked before we went out on the court if I could place the ball myself, and he said, you have to put it from where we put the ball. They put it exactly where she wanted. A minute later, so did she. I just lined up my putter, closed my eyes, and said, Lord, it's up to you. And I hit it. Hottie toddy, golf almighty.
Sounds like the person who didn't do it. Have you ever seen the putting game on Price is Right?
Yes. Yes, I have.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like they don't make it past the first line.
Yeah.
And they get it anyway. I've seen that happen a few times.
Oh, yeah, I have too.
It's just all luck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, hottie toddy, golf almighty. You see, Ole Miss's motto is hottie toddy, God almighty. So, I'll tell you what, that's looking good. The arena's Mike Mann announced as the ball rolled past half court. That's looking really good, maybe for good reason. Though she hasn't played in years, Marianne is no stranger to the green, learning her way around the links after retiring from her career in television 30 years ago. The name of the Oxford apartment complex she calls home? The Links. Yes, there's a golf course.
Oh, my.
But my long game was better than my short game, she says. I could drive a long ball, but my short game always killed me. You wouldn't have thought that Saturday night. Video of the current leading contender for putt of the year quickly went viral on social media. My daughter says it has more than a million Twitters, she says. That was Sunday morning, a few million Twitters ago. I'm about to lie down and take a nap, she laughed. I'm still shaking. Can't fault her for that. 86 years old, she gets a brand new car. And you know what? I can say this right now. Eat your heart out, Trump.
Oh, and while you're at Trump, resign.
And there's Eyeshine in the chat room. Hey, Eyeshine.
Shirley.
Yes.
What is with you, Alan, and a hamburger?
I don't know. For those who don't know, so we have a friend who puts up the captions from all the episodes. And I've got Alan having a rather mean face of the hood. And it's like, you know that last deluxe hamburger was for Dad. You know that last hamburger was for Dad.
And you know this, man?
You know this, woman?
Oh, my.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
All right. Let's get the train back on the track, okay?
Okay. Well, I'm going to find something that just might make you seriously laugh. And Einstein just posted this 2 hours ago. I'm going to have trouble saying this one. Doctors are warning people not to put frozen potatoes in their anus.
I saw that.
Okay.
Serious?
It's supposed to be a folk cure for hemorrhoids.
Yeah.
Oh,
well.
Do you really expect us to fall for that?
This is supposed to say. All right, but anyway, doctors have issued a warning against putting frozen potatoes in your anus. I'm having trouble trying not to laugh. This comes as an increasing number of hemorrhoid sufferers have reportedly taken to the internet to seek alternative solutions to their problem instead of consulting doctors. Now it has emerged that an altogether unusual solution is being touted online. That inserting frozen potatoes in your anus for 30 minutes is the answer.
The only thing I think will come out of that is a frostbitten asshole.
Oh, my.
sorry. It's the truth.
I know. You're right. Let's see. There's a video. I'm not going to play it. A doctor gives advice to a person who's had piles for 5 years. Let's see. For Wales Online, one article claims, here's what you need to do. Peel a raw potato and cut into thin slices like you do for French fries. Put the slices into the freezer and wait until they are frozen. Insert the frozen potato slice in your anus.
and leave it inside
for 30 seconds. Repeat the process for 3 to 5 days. The next 3 to 5 days, leave the slice inside for 30 seconds more each time. Oh, God. The article continues. The potatoes have astringent properties and help relieve the pain and itchy sensation, which usually happens with this condition. While the ice cold potato constricts the blood vessels, reduces the swelling, and relieves your pain instantly. But doctors have warned against this novel solution. For the Metro, Dr. Diana Gall, yes, G-A-L-L, of leading online medical service Doctor For You, said, piles can be an irritating condition and sufferers are sometimes too embarrassed to seek professional helping, turning to old wives' tales instead, which is true. The doctor continued, there is no medical evidence that putting frozen potatoes inside the anus can help cure piles, so I would urge caution to anyone thinking of doing it. Piles often go away on their own after a few days, but there are some tried and trusted ways to keep them at bay. You should drink plenty of fluids and maintain a fiber-rich diet and try having regular warm baths to ease itching and pain. If home treatments do not banish your piles, it is advised to go to your doctor and explore alternative treatments. However, frozen potatoes are not the only novel hemorrhoid treatment being circulated online. Some people have also praised the power of CBD oil in treating the condition. For Wales Online, Reddit user Baron50Cal and New Mom wrote, the CBD absorbed and actually reached the internal hemorrhoid. My inflammation began to decrease, as did my pain. I can almost recognize my bottom again. Oh, yeah, that's real smart to say. But doctors have also warned against using CBD oil to treat hemorrhoids at home because there have not been enough research into its effectiveness as a treatment. MD of popular UK brand CBD Armour, David Barkley, said for CBD shops, there have been reports of CBD being a very responsive anti-inflammatory. So one can understand why people would consider using it in this manner. It would be beneficial to have some official research into this. As for frozen potatoes, where on earth did people get these crazy ideas from? It's like, holy crap. Yeah, Einstein said, I knew you'd get a good laugh out of this. Yeah, we did.
Oh, my God.
What?
Remember Peter Tork from the Monkees?
He died a couple years ago.
Then why is RollingStone.com posting it again?
I don't know. Yeah, he died last year.
Okay.
He died on February 21st, 2019. So. And it was from adenoid cystic carcinoma, better known as cancer.
Uh-huh.
Okay. This one, when I heard about this over the weekend, I looked it up on eBay. This is real. How would you like to get 1 3-pack of Oreo cookies for nearly $90,000? I am not joking. I looked it up. It's real. A pack of 3 Oreo cookies. Nearly $90,000.
Which one of you is snoring?
Not me.
No, it's one of the dogs.
Oh. All right, I want to see.
Sorry.
Price and shipping highest first. There it is. Yeah. What's going on is there's a brand called Supreme. I have known nothing about it. From what I hear, it is extremely high-end store for, like, the wealthy and such. Now, here's the interesting part. There are only 12 locations on the entire planet. Okay.
If you want to see what one looks like in the United States, you got to go to New York.
Yep, it's in New York. I think there's one in San Francisco, too. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put the link to all of the available Supreme cookies on eBay. And trust me, I could not believe that this is real. 90 people have bid on the one for, that has $88,988.
Sheesh. They either got to be desperate or sweets. Or they want something really, really, really bad.
Yeah. I was like, are you serious? And I just am looking up. This is real. I don't believe it. Because what's going on is, you see, you know, in the middle of the part, it would see the word Oreo, right? Well, in this case, it's got the logo of the Supreme brand of stores. Now, this one I'll believe. Supreme Oreo pack of three cookies is $18. Now, at the store itself, they're charging $8 for that pack of three cookies. So approximately $2.67 per turkey. I mean, cookie, not for turkey.
Gee, that would be cheaper for Thanksgiving turkey.
Well, hey, I'm going to tell you the truth, okay? Long, long time ago, when Kmart was still here, they had actually sold turkey at 10 cents a pound.
That's not bad.
No.
That's not bad at all.
We ended up buying we bought like two turkeys for like $4. Yeah, but seriously, some of these bids are crazy. 88,098, 70,000, 30,100, 21,000, 20,000, 15,600, 15,000, 14,900, 11,200. It's like, are you serious? 10,500, 10,100, 9,999, 10,000, 8,100. It's like, what the hell? And I can't even eat the cookies, so it doesn't even bother me.
I think they're going to put them on a display case.
Very good. That's like, oh my God.
Holy shit. I guess they can afford to piss their money off if they're rich.
Yeah. Okay, now this one I've got to read because I had posted this one over the weekend. This was in Pasadena, California. And basically, this is what I had put. Okay, here's the headline. A swarm of nearly 40,000 bees attacked police responding to a single bee sting report. What I said was, the neighborhood was all abuzz with this seriously stinging situation. So let me see. Did I put the... No, I did not. Okay, there we go. I saw that. I was like, oh, crap. But boy, that's it really was all a buzz. All right, so here's what's going on. They were responding to a report of a single bee sting, but their problem was about to get a whole lot worse. A group of firefighters and police that were responding to a bee sting were attacked Thursday afternoon by a swarm of nearly 40,000 Africanized bees. Three of the first responders were rushed to the hospital while the others quickly shut down the block. I've been with the fire department 18 years now and responded to several bee incidents. Pasadena Fire Department Public Information Officer Lisa Diderian told CNN, but never to this magnitude. A block full of bees. The bees stung seven people in total, but two of them didn't go to the hospital, the authorities said. No one got it worse than the first firefighter who arrived. The bees stung him 17 times. That led to the group to realize that the swarm of bees covered the entire block. The bees were very aggressive, Darian said. Somebody could have had an allergic reaction, and it could have been serious and or fatal. Firefighters...
Bruce microwave, red alert!
Yeah. Mine.
Yeah, red alert, red alert!
I can hear the microwave, you know?
Yeah.
I have to announce that to the listeners.
Okay, sorry. Let's see. Firefighters and a professional beekeeper climbed the ladder to remove the hive, which was on the roof of a four-story Hampton Inn. They then sprayed the bees with CO2 and foam extinguishers. Some of the bees were killed, while others left the area when the sun went down, she said. The beekeeper safely removed the hive so that the bees could not return home. So... All right, let's see. Oh. You know, TikTok is a popular thing, but how would you feel if this happened to you? Brigham Young University athlete rips his testicles as he attempts pole vault on TikTok.
Ouch.
Yeah. Yeah. This is called feeling the pain, and I signed and posted this one, too. I was like, oh, shit.
What?
No, this story. All right, so here's what happened. Now, the writer of this is Neom Shackleton. Obviously, this is a woman. Here's why. Here's her words. A university student filmed a horrific moment. He ripped his testicles on a vault pole, and it makes the testicles I don't have hurt. So,
ow, okay.
Zach McWhorter regularly practices his pole vaulting, so understandably wanted to share his skills on TikTok. Little did the 21-year-old know, however, his coach would end up capturing a lot more on camera than just his jump. The video starts off well as Zach approaches the mat at high speed with his pole at the ready. He then successfully clears the bar, but upon doing so, the pole rips through his shorts and his testicles on the way down. I am not going to play the video. You can watch it whenever you want. The gruesome moment is enough to make women grimace, never mind men. Zach, who attends Brigham Young University, went on to have 18 stitches to repair the damage done to his scrotum. I mean, stitches are unpleasant anywhere, but on your balls, no thanks. Fortunately, Zach's coach, who also happens to be his dad, rushed to his son's aid straight after the toe-curling ordeal. Let's see. Speaking to BuzzFeed, Zach said, immediately after the incident, we got in his car and drove to the hospital, and he sewed me up. It required 18 stitches. I could see right into my scrotum.
Oh.
Ugh. Fortunately,
he must have lost the contents, too.
Yeah. Fortunately, as far as I know, there is nothing wrong with my testicles, just a scar. One day, we'll find out if they function or not. Zach went on to advise other vaulters not to free ball, meaning don't wear cross-country shorts without spandex. He also said vaulters should always put a cap on the end of the pole, something he learned the hard way. Someone else who's had a similarly toe-curling genitalia-related incident was a footballer who got his penis bitten in a post-match brawl. The football player who did the biting went on to be suspended for 5 years. The brawl took place in the car park of a stadium in eastern France following a second division match between SC Tervel and AS Sotrich on November 17, 2019. Due to the unusual nature of the incident, though, a disciplinary committee has only just reached a decision on how to punish the players. The local league match ended in a 1-1 draw, but two opposing players who have not been named still found something to fight about, and things got physical. The poor chap who got his manhood bitten was actually trying to stop the fight between the two men. I bet he wished he hadn't bothered. As for Fox Sports, Emmanuel Salling of the Mosellan Football District said, the events took place after the match in the stadium car park. There was an altercation and escalation, and things got worse. The footballer player ended up needing 10 stitches. Ouch.
That had to hurt.
That's painful. And it's like, that's why you really need to be careful of what you're doing.
Be careful where you hang your dingleberries, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, so for this guy, it's awfully hard to say.
I have very large, hairy blank.
Oh my.
Ouch. Yeah. That has got to hurt like hell.
Probably it does.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you he walked like he'd been saddled on a horse for 3 days.
Yeah. Oh, yes, and then this famous couple from Kentucky. There's this famous Kentucky couple who basically foiled a robbery while on their date night.
Oh, come on, you little turd shit.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, married off duty couple foiled masked man's robbery.
I found that one.
Yes, you did. Yeah, so anyway, a masked man got more than he bargained for when he attempted to rob a fast food restaurant, and the only two customers eating at the establishment ended up being two married police officers who were on a date night, held him at gunpoint until he was arrested. The incident took place at a Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers franchise in Louisville, Kentucky at approximately 10 p.m. on February 15th when Elizabethtown police officer Nicole McCown and her husband Detective Chase McCown were on a date night when the masked man barged in, flashed a gun at the employee who was taking orders, and allegedly demanded money. The alert officers can be seen in surveillance footage noticing what is going on from their seats at the back of the restaurant before splitting up and drawing their weapons as they approach the subject. The would-be thief, later identified as Justin Carter, according to ABC News Louisville affiliate WHAS, then sees the off-duty cops approaching, drops his gun, and sprints out of the restaurant. We were on a date night when an armed man with a mask attempted to rob the cashier, the Elizabethtown Police Department said in a statement on social media. Both threw their off-duty weapons and apprehended the suspect. They held him at gunpoint until Louisville Metro Police Department officers arrived. According to WHAS, Carter is a convicted felon who had used a weapon stolen from Jeffersontown Police and was charged with possession of a handgun by a convicted felon, receiving stolen property and robbery in conjunction with the alleged crime. The couple, who met on the job at EPD when he was a patrol officer and she was a dispatcher at the agency, have been married just 6 months. Elizabethtown Police.
One hell of a honeymoon present.
Yeah.
Oh my.
The Associated Press said Carter appeared in court on February 17th and was represented by a public defender. He will next appear in court at a preliminary hearing tomorrow. Said the Louisville Metro Police Department in a social media post, "You never know who's minding their own business but ready to put in work." But some people were saying, some people were actually a little upset with the husband saying, "Why would you take her to a fast food restaurant?" Well, they've been going to that restaurant for years.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No. That's
maybe
they
like going to fast food restaurant. They don't like the fancy schmancy places. You know?
Right. Right. You see, what happened was that's where they met. That's where they fell in love. I think they actually got married.
Uh-huh.
There too. So
nothing wrong with that.
No,
thank you very much, people.
Yeah, it's all about the thought and the love that counts. It doesn't matter where it is. It's the thought that counts. And, oh, yeah, we do have a bit of sad news to report. Mad Mike Hughes, he died in a homemade rocket disaster on his mission to prove that the Earth is flat. Yeah, let's just say what went wrong really went wrong.
That looks good, Eyeshine. Fruity Pebbles Cheesecake.
Oh, that'd be too much sugar for me. Magic word, diabetes.
Oh, my. Along with a picture of Wilford Brimley.
Yep. All right, so anyway, this was posted 2 days ago. Yesterday. In December, buttressed by his conviction and advances in homemade rocketry, Mad Mike Hughes flipped on the camera and fantasized about the moment when he shows mankind that it lives on a verdant disk. The plan, float dozens of miles high in a balloon, then fly a rocket to the Kármán line, the 62-mile-high barrier that separates the atmosphere and the cold vacuum of space, filming the entire way. For 3 hours, the world stops, Hughes said during a live stream, imagining the reaction. Hughes, a self-styled daredevil, flat-earth theorist, and limousine-jumping stuntman, died Saturday when his crudely built contraption propelled him on a column of steam, spiraled through the air, and cratered into the sagebrush outside Barstow, California. He was 64. Justin Chapman, a freelance reporter, witnessed the launch while reporting a longer story on Hughes. The rocket's green parachute tore away moments before takeoff, sending the crowd of 50 or so people into a panic, he said. Everyone was just stunned and didn't know what to do, he told the Washington Post yesterday. They were silent for a long time. Houston's support team went to inspect the crash site about a half mile away, Chapman said, and returned with the harrowing news. Hughes was dead, the rocket had pancaked, and the other three parachutes never deployed. It was unsuccessful, and he passed away, longtime collaborator and friend Waldo Stakes told the Associated Press. Stakes declined to say what he thinks went wrong. Hughes had at least one successful launch in which he was strapped to a rocket bearing the words, Flat Earth. It's a daredevil thing, Stakes said in a short phone interview with the Post on Sunday, describing the danger and Hughes' experience with building seven rockets. He was one of the smartest guys I've ever met. The rockets he had ridden are not designed to reach space. Hughes' goal was to ride past the 5,000-foot mark on Saturday, but his previous launches were an apparent step toward his ultimate vehicle. It was a tragic end for Hughes, perhaps the most visible and colorful advocate of the theory that Earth isn't a sapphire and emerald globe revolving around a massive star, but rather a flat plane with a tiny sun above it. While there is no one hypothesis for what the flat Earth is supposed to look like, many believers envision a flat disk ringed by sea ice, which naturally holds the oceans in. He dedicated the past several years of his life to proving the theory from a high perch, an ambitious goal that began in the front seat of a limousine. Hughes achieved some fame in 2002 when he soared in a 103-foot jump in a Lincoln Countach stretch limo, earning a Guinness World Record. Years later, he looked to recreate a failed jump by legendary daredevil Evel Knievel, who, in 1974, tried to vault Idaho's Snake River Canyon in a similarly designed steam-powered rocket. Knievel's chute deployed early, and he missed the mark. That interest sparked communication between Hughes and the Federal Aviation Administration sometime around 2010, said James Van Der Lack, who was then a senior official in the agency's Office of Commercial Space Transportation. The two struck up an odd couple phone-based friendship, with Hughes as the swaggering stuntman paranoid of the federal government and Van Lack, the Fed, trying to help him find a way to legally launch the rocket, he told the Post on Sunday. After Van Lack met with the FAA's general counsel, the agency determined that it wasn't quite a rocket launch by definition, since a ramp would be the main propulsion system. That helped avoid complicated safety reviews, and Hughes agreed to keep local safety officials in the loop, Van Lack said. They last spoke in 2012, he said. 2 years later, Hughes flew a quarter mile over Winkelmann, Arizona, in a fight that ended with Hughes being dragged from the remains of the rocket. He watched another daredevil make the Snake River Canyon jump in 2016. In March 2018, Hughes rode his garage-made rocket 1,875 feet over the Mojave Desert, reaching a speed of 350 miles per hour, the AP reported. It was the next step in his mission to photograph the world. It'll shut the door on this ball Earth, Hughes said then. But whether the planet is a flat plane or a globe is something he openly wrestled with, telling CBS News that he was both confident in what he would find out but open to other ideas. I expect to see a flat disk up there, he said of his ultimate goal to get into space months after his 2018 launch. I don't have an agenda. If it's round Earth or a ball, I'm going to come down and say, hey guys, I'm bad. It's a ball, okay? He was recently signed on with the Science Channel to document his project on the television program Homemade Astronauts. The channel, which is part of Discovery, said in a statement, our thoughts and prayers go out to his family and friends during this difficult time. It was always his dream to do this launch, and Science Channel was there to chronicle his journey, the Science Channel said. But a spokeswoman for the network wouldn't say whether producers asked Hughes to rein in his Flat Earth commentary for a channel that has science in its name. And at least theoretically, why would want to assure viewers that the Earth is in fact round. In a promo video posted on Discovery's website ahead of the launch, Hughes does not mention his beliefs when he explains why he embarked on his now tragic mission. It's to convince people that they can do extraordinary things for their lives, he said. Maybe it pushes people to do things they wouldn't normally do with their lives that will maybe inspire someone else. Then Hughes expressed optimism about the takeoff. We look forward to Saturday, he said. And that's it. So basically, he died trying to prove that Earth was flat.
You know what? There's another death that we should note. You remember the movie Hidden Figures?
Yes.
That was up for an Academy Award. The woman that started that, she passed away at 101 years old.
Yeah.
She's 100. I don't know. I don't know if she's still alive or deceased, but she's 101 years old.
She died today. She officially died today.
But she made history.
Uh-huh.
Being not only the first woman, but the first black woman.
Yep. Katherine Johnson, that's her name.
Exactly. She was a part of not just black history, but a part of history, period.
Yep.
I saw her on the news, saw the notification on the news.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Groundbreaking NASA mathematician.
Yeah. And they asked her supervisor when NASA came and said, who would be the best one for the job? And she said she would. And pointing at her, she was working on her calculations.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, cool beans.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter if it's black, white, or whatever.
Uh-huh.
You know, think about it.
Ooh, let me see. Oh, wow. I usually don't fire rant rockets, but this one just might need it. Listen to this. Bank manager has been sentenced for stealing $315,000 from an elderly customer.
Asshole.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I think. I know, like I said, it's a little early for the rant rocket, but I feel like I need to fire it. You know what I mean?
You warned us. Go for it.
All right, let me put the link in there first. And you know what? This is a supernova for me. So, everybody, take cover.
All right, my ass is cramped.
Okay, so here what happened. This is here in Montgomery, by the way. A former Montgomery bank branch manager convicted for stealing hundreds of thousands of dollars from an elderly customer is going to federal prison, according to Louis V. Franklin Sr., U.S. Attorney for the Middle District of Alabama. The U.S. Attorney's Office says 28-year-old Montreal Holly will spend a little over 3 years behind bars after pleading guilty to theft of funds by a bank employee. The investigation started within months of Holly becoming the manager of a Montgomery Regions bank branch in mid-2018. In December of that year, Regions discovered Holly had borrowed $188,000 from an elderly customer's account into his own account at another bank. Regions and the U.S. Secret Service began an investigation of Holly's actions. The elderly customer died shortly after that probe was opened. This case is upsetting in many ways, and it serves as a reminder that criminals are targeting some of the most vulnerable people in our society, U.S. Attorney Franklin explained. Holly selected his victim because of her advanced age and illness. According to the DOJ, Regions and the Secret Service found that Holly had convinced the elderly customer that she could trust only him to handle her money. Within months of gaining her trust, authorities say Holly set about draining nearly $315,000 from her accounts. Authorities said
probably
Holly
her entire life savings.
Mm-hmm, probably. Authorities said Holly issued cashier's checks, made wire transfers, and even issued a debit card on one of her accounts and used it to make ATM withdrawals. The stolen money was then used to pay off some of Holly's loans, as well as those of his wife, his girlfriend, and other family members, according to statements made at his sentencing hearing. Prosecutors said in one instance, Holly transferred more than $23,000 to pay off a car loan, which he later explained to investigators the victim had told him to do. Investigators determined the loan paid off a vehicle driven by Holly's girlfriend. After loaning he'd been caught, DOJ says Holly returned $188,000 of the stolen funds. He thought he would get away with stealing her money because no one would notice, Franklin said. Fortunately, Regions Bank discovered the suspicious activity in her account. As part of his sentencing, the man has been ordered to repay the remaining $125,000 to Regions Bank, which is already credited from the stolen funds back to the victim's account. Once released, Holly will be supervised release for another 3 years. We must all be vigilant.
I hope he loses his license to work in a bank.
Yeah. Let me see. Hold on. We must all be vigilant and take action when necessary to protect our senior family members and friends from being exploited, Franklin said. Regions Bank investigators should be committed in this case, said Patrick Davis, special agent in charge with the U.S. Secret Service. Their quick response and thorough investigative support stopped the defendant from further financially exploiting the elderly victim in this case.
I say, asshole.
Yeah, me too. What a
I'd say, hey, you know what? I know it's not Friday night, but that guy is a motherfucking asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Who needs to have somebody put their foot up his ass?
Yeah.
I know it's not Friday, but that's just the way I feel.
You mean Thursday?
Well, no, Friday, when I can really let loose with swear words.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Excuse me. Let's see. The 10th Doctor is the son-in-law of the 5th Doctor. Well, guess what? David Tennant's son, Ty, hopes to follow in his father's and grandfather's footsteps. He could be the 3rd family member to take on the role of Doctor Who.
You're kidding, really?
Yeah, of course, he's got a little, he's a little bit young, so I'll just put that.
How old
there.
Is he?
I think he's like 17 right now. I could be wrong. Let me see. Yeah, he's 17 right now. Let's see. David Tennant's son, Ty, hopes to follow in his father's and grandfather's footsteps by becoming the 3rd family member to take on the role of Doctor Who. With Peter Davison the 5th, David Tennant the 10th. The 17-year-old has started carving out an acting career for himself and already has his eyes set on the coveted character. Ty's paternal granddad, Peter Davison, famously played the 5th Doctor in the sci-fi series. He told the Sunday Post, "I don't think I would ever decline the offer. Doctor Who is such a massive thing to take on. Whoever is truly right for it will get the role. If I am granted that, I will certainly do my best." Let's see. Ty's father, David, 48, played the 10th Doctor from 2005 to 2010, during which he met his wife and Ty's mother, Georgina Moffat. The young actor was later adopted by David after he married Georgina. Ty is slowly building up his own acting portfolio, which includes a spot on BBC's Casualty and a part in 2019's Tolkien. He's now set to star alongside Downton Abbey's Elizabeth McGovern in a sci-fi thriller, War of the Worlds. Based on the classic H.G. Wells novel, it will be shown on Fox from next month. Let's see. And Ty credits his family with showing him the ropes after he attended classes at an acting school led by his grandfather and grandmother, Sandra Dickinson. Sandra starred in the 1981 adaptation of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. She also happened to be the voice of Grandma Tracy.
You're kidding.
Nope.
So there is a Doctor Who connection to Thunderbirds after all.
Well, at least The Hitchhiker's Guide anyway.
Yeah.
Let's see. Anyway, Ty said, "I suppose they taught me how to act, and my mom and dad as well. And it's always been a part of me, thinking maybe I should follow in the family footsteps, as there are lots of actors in there."
Keep it in the family, kiddo.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only one thing to say about that.
What's that?
For God's sake, bloody Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Did you see the article on Facebook about the pit bull went up to the dog, the police car?
Nope.
And they were trying to figure out what to do with the police car, do with the dog, because they thought he was mean because he was a pit bull. They got out of the car trying to figure out what to do with the dog. They look around and lost the dog, couldn't find the dog. In the meantime, the dog had jumped in the police car and was sitting in the driver's seat.
Hmm.
That tells you something. That really does tell you something. They're only as good as their upbringing. Shoot, Cosmo's part pit. You know, pocket pit. And my nieces have a dog named Bambi that they love to pieces. So, get over your fear of pities. It just
mm-hmm.
has a lot to do with how they were raised.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot 45's in India.
Spoiled
the Taj Mahal.
Mm-hmm.
You can stay there. Don't come back. We don't want you.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something that really irritates me. He was doing a rally, and he got upset about the movie Parasite winning the Best Picture. It's like, it was a South Korean movie. It's like, Mr. Trump, let me explain something. AMPAS stands for the Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts, and Sciences. American doesn't show up anywhere in the title. Right?
Well, you know what? I don't see what he's pitching a bitch about. He was lovey-dovey with the little dick, the little runt.
Mm.
You do know who I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah.
Excuse me.
No excuse. All right, well, guess what? We're down to 3 minutes and 50 seconds already.
Wow. Why did that go so fast?
I have no idea. All I gotta say, that is...
Wow. I've never seen that before.
No.
Yeah, but anyway, once again, this week, it's a four-episode week. Because, you know, this is our Wednesday break before we come back to Food Fascination, Secrets of the Unknown, and Attention to One. In fact, there is going to be one common theme for all three of them. Route 66.
Think of it as like a very special month for our Wednesday night shows.
Yep, exactly.
It doesn't have anything to do with the extra day, does it?
No, uh-uh.
No. It's just not like for Food Fascinations, we'll be talking about some of the famous eats along Route 66.
Mm-hmm.
The following week, for Secrets of the Unknown, we'll be talking about haunted Route 66.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know what Shirley has in mind for the Attention to One that goes with it.
I would say the one for that one is going to be like some of the best sights to see, like the corner in Winslow, Arizona. It is on Route 66, so.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, like I said, I've been lucky enough to go there twice in a week. There are two statues at the corner now. So if you get a chance, go check it out. It's awesome.
Yeah, I'll tell you something. The Eagles wrote about Winslow, Arizona, but they've never actually been there.
Right. I was been a mystery, like, why did they put that in there, even though they've never been to Winslow?
Maybe
Oh, well.
It's their bucket list, you think?
Yeah, could be. Or it's just the way the song's written. That can be the case, too. Let's see. But, yeah, we're going to do, like, all the – I'll say most of March will be Route 66. So get ready. Get your kicks.
Oh, one of my dogs siding you here.
Oh,
like a motorcycle.
He's dreaming. He's riding one. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, Thursday, of course, is the free-for-all, and Friday is the All-Out Review and Naughty Mad Lib show once again.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. So anyway, time to wrap things up by saying this. Please remember to follow us on Facebook. We have a group page. Follow us on Twitter. @_TIP and follow us on our website beyondtheairwaves.weebly.com. If you ever miss an episode, because let's face it, life happens, there are three ways to catch up. First, there's the Stitcher.com app available on iTunes, Google Play, and the Amazon Kindle store. Second, you can listen to or download full episodes of the show from blogtalkradio.com. And finally, you can find us on iTunes. Just do a search in the podcast for Beyond the Airwaves, and you will find many of our episodes there. So with that in mind, I'm going to say love, peace, and chicken grease. Everybody have a great night. Sleep well. Stay safe. And we'll see you tomorrow for New Cartsville Tuesday. And that is all today. Hold it. Stop. Wrong ending.
What was that?
That's Friday. Take two. Try again. There we go. You know my brain is. My brain is in bed. Sleep.
Brain is up your ass right now, isn't it?
Yeah. I got my brain in my ass.
going to go ahead and say Jana.
That's fine.
Jana.
You stay out. I hope you get better soon, too, Tim.
All right.
I'm fine.
I've got a friend who's suffering from a nastiest head cold on the face of the planet.
Well, anyway.
I get better from what? I'm fine. I'm not sick.
Okay.
Huh. All right, well, anyway.
As long as your legs aren't bothering you right now.
Well,
yeah.
they probably will for the rest of my life, but that's another thing. Tiring.
Yeah.
All right, well,
anyway.
Have a great night, and remember these.
You, I almost had him. I had him. I almost had him. You stuttering prick, you.
No, I'm not going to shut up.
And we got this.
I'm Groot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Groot.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
I'm Groot.
Oh, shit! And finally, this one.
I'm sorry, sweetie. Honey Badger doesn't give a shit.
Thank you, Betty White.
You're welcome.
All right, that is all for tonight. Have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow. And, of course, Tim will be at the rabbit hole, so we'll see Tim on Thursday.
All right. Enjoy yourselves, everybody. Jana.
All right. Buenas noches, amigos.